like it didn't get there, and I felt like God had his way last year. I really did. And so when they asked me about coming this year, I began to pray about it and thought that I would go a certain direction and preach from some certain scriptures. And I began to plan that way and plot my course and prepare for that. But about the beginning of this year, I felt like the Lord pushed me back to the scripture text that I was going to preach from last year. And so if you don't mind, I'm just going to obey the Lord, all right? And so if you want to turn there, we're going to the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter number 3. While you're turning, I want to say thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be asked to preach. I always count it an honor and a privilege to preach God's word, no matter where I'm at. And I feel like it's a special honor and privilege to be asked to preach to this congregation, because I believe that these are the best of the best. You believe that? Amen. Amen. You should. I'm talking about you. Amen. You are the best of the best. Praise God. Well, when Sister Shoecraft started singing, I just stood over there and crossed my fingers. I thought, surely the Lord can do this 2 years in a row. Yeah. But he didn't do it. So here we go. Amen. I want to say I appreciate Brother Ralston and Brother Don Ingram. Yeah. Don't you? I tell you what, they do a wonderful job here with the ministers' conference, and I feel like it's such a blessing. I know at the former place, and I can't remember the name of what that was called, Smoky Shadows. I remember one night there that God specifically came by and spoke to me and just gave me a word and charted a course for me, and I appreciate God helping me there. I appreciate how he's helped me here 2 years ago right over here. The Lord just wonderfully helped me and touched my life. I'm telling you, I believe in the ministers' conference, don't you? And so I appreciate Brother Ralston, Brother Ingram, their churches, their people, the sacrifice they make for this meeting. I believe it'd be good for us to just give them a hand. You do that? Amen. Amen. Appreciate them. God bless them. Hallelujah. And of course, it seems as if in this meeting we would be remiss if we did not give honor to the overseer of the holiness movement. I appreciate Brother Randy. And hallelujah. What a hero he is. Is that right? Praise the Lord. Song of Solomon, chapter number 3. I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of the word, if you don't mind. Just kind of get ready to preach to you what I feel in my heart. A couple years ago, Brother Corey Herod was in revival with us, and one night he felt like he did not get everything done that needed to be done. The next morning I went in my office and just began to write down some things that were in my heart. I wrote down on a piece of paper and left it as a note for him when he would come into the office. And I said this, "Preacher, it's not you who is working when you are in the pulpit. You work when you're pouring yourself out with tears and prayer. You work when you're hungrily reading God's word. You work when you're diligently studying great books that mine ore from the greatest of all books. You work when you sacrificially fast food to esteem God more worthy. But when you get in the pulpit, your work is done. Now it's time for God to work." And I feel like tonight in this service, it is time for God to work. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse number 6. If you have it, say amen. He said, "Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Behold, his bed, which is Solomon's, 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart." Notice verse number 7, "Behold his bed, which is Solomon's, 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. If the Lord would help me tonight, I want to preach to this great congregation on victory for the valiant. Victory for the valiant. Can we pray together one more time? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the living word of God that is sharp and powerful. I thank you for the Spirit of the Lord that is in this house. Thank you for allowing the Holy Ghost to be among us. Lord, I pray now that you would stand me in liberty, that you would bring every word and every thought to my mind that I need to preach tonight. I pray that the Holy Ghost would reach out into this congregation. Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost would reach all the way to the back corners of this building and you would encourage the ministry. I pray that you would strengthen them. I pray that the Holy Ghost would move in this altar. Lord, I'm asking for God of heaven to draw us to the meeting place and change us and help us tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we ask it, and everybody said, amen. You may be seated if you'd like. First of all, I want to tell you I have two goals tonight. First of all, I want to encourage the ministry. And then secondly, I want to see ministers experience victory in the altar. Amen. We have found our text in a book of the Bible that is largely neglected by many people today. I personally believe that that is a mistake. I encourage you to go home and dig into the book and find the gold mine you have been avoiding. Song of Solomon is an allegory that portrays the love of Christ for the church through the story of King Solomon and the original love of his life, the lowly Shulamite girl. Our text tonight is looking upon the procession that is heading to the wedding of those two characters. The king and the bride are traveling together to the ceremony, and they are surrounded by 60 of the best soldiers. Hallelujah. Tonight it is my honor to preach to some of the greatest soldiers that the world has never known. The soldiers of the cross, the heroes of holiness, the heralds of the truth of God. For you, the ministers, the shepherds of the flock that pastor every day, the evangelists and the missionaries who fight hell to revive churches and win souls. I preach tonight to pioneers that are bringing a vision to reality in barren places of the country. I look at school principals tonight that are sacrificing to pour their lives into another generation. I believe there are lay preachers who are loyal armor bearers to your pastor. Amen. You are soldiers, men and women of whom the world is not worthy. Hallelujah. And that's who I want to preach to tonight. Notice with me in the Word of God, first of all, what I choose to call the venerable sight of the church. Look at verse number 6. It said, who is this? Who is this? Who is it? It is the church. Glory to God. I tell you that I am glad to be a part of the church of Jesus Christ. That is the church that is coming through the wilderness on their way to the wedding. And oh, what a glorious sight it is. Hey, they are going through that wilderness, that desert, moving to that royal meeting with their Father God. Amen. At the wedding, glory, and they are there moving through that wilderness with such a sight that people stand in awe and look. Notice first of all the people that are watching, for these verses that I've read are comments made by the daughters of Jerusalem as they watch with awe and envy the wedding procession go by them. They are awed by the glory of it, and they are envious that they aren't part of it. Oh, what a glorious sight the church is. It's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I thank God that I have the privilege of being part of the church. But friend, don't ever lose sight of the fact that the world is watching. Don't ever lose sight of the glory of the church. Amen. Our lives are under inspection. Our character is under examination. And we must show those that are watching the glory of being one with Christ. For the word of God said with, amen, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm glad to be part of a glorious church. I'm glad that I'm washed in the blood. I'm glad that I'm part of this great body. Hallelujah.
Notice not only the people that are watching, but the path through the wilderness. It said, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? Sometimes it seems like the church and its soldiers must walk through the wilderness. Have you ever felt that dry, dusty time in your life? Have you ever been through a time when the services just seem like they cannot be moved with a stick of dynamite? It's a wilderness time. There comes times in our ministry when we feel the loneliness in the post of our duty. When we see the barrenness of results in our lives. There are times when the winds of adversity about blow us over. We are trudging through the deep sand of the wilderness. But I want to point you to two words. He said, who is this that cometh out? Amen. Glory. Sometimes we go through the wilderness, but we are going to come out. And I feel like there may be a soldier of the cross that is feeling like you're trudging through deep sand. You feel like the burdens are about to break you, but you're going to come out. I said you're going to come out. Harvest will come. Revival will break out. Victory will be a reality. Oh, glory, there is a path through the wilderness. But then notice the presence that is wonderful. Read with me what the daughters of Jerusalem saw as they looked at this wedding procession carrying the king and his bride. Amen. Look at verse number 6. It said, first of all, the pillars of smoke. Pillars of smoke. God's guidance through the wilderness was seen by a cloud. God's glory was seen by a cloud over the mercy seat. And that's what the church must experience today, that the world may see God's guidance and God's glory in His church. That's what the world needs to know. We're not just living different, but there's a guide and a glory that's with us, and they can experience it as well. It makes me so excited when sinners walk into our church and they say, there's something here that I don't feel anywhere else. Oh, glory. Amen. Because that's what I'm wanting. I'm wanting the glory of God. I want the pillars of smoke over the sanctuary at Parker Hill Holiness Church. But then notice what else it said in verse 6. Perfumed with myrrh and frankincense. Myrrh speaks of Christ's suffering and death. The bride had taken that to her and is perfumed with the fragrance of that. And we as the bride of Christ must take that bundle of myrrh to us. And we must be saturated with the presence of the cross. A glorious church must exalt the work of Christ on the cross. I said a glorious church must exalt the work of Christ on the cross. Oh yes, we should. For without shedding of blood, there is no remission. We are not redeemed with corruption. Corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Paul said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Oh, what a glorious sight it is when the church of Jesus lifts up the blood of Jesus, for that's what's going to save them. That's what we are redeemed by. I say thank God for the blood. Oh, hallelujah. Well, glory. Loosen us up here a little bit, Lord. Amen. We used to sing a song at Bible school, Brother Preck. Amen. We used to sing a song, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross. And I know it was the blood for me. The blood came streaming down. The blood came streaming down. The blood came streaming down for me. We must lift up the cross. We must lift up the blood. The blood is what redeems us. The blood will sanctify us, and the blood will gain us access to the heavens of heaven. Oh, thank God for the blood. But not only were they perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, myrrh representing Christ's suffering and death, but frankincense represents His glorious work as a resurrected Savior, the work of intercessory prayer. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. This glorious church moves through the wilderness on its way to the wedding. We've got pillars of smoke as the glory and guidance of God. We lift up a suffering Savior. We exalt a living Lord, whoever liveth to make intercession. And I say, thank God I'm part of the church. I'm not discouraged. I'm not downcast. I'm not about to give up. I'm glad I'm part of the church. I'm humbled that He has saved me. I'm thankful that He's made me holy by giving His righteousness in my life. I'm glad to be part of the glorious church of Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is. Hallelujah. Notice again verse number 6. With all powders of the merchant. Spurgeon said of this verse, he said it was a variety of delicious perfumes which made the wilderness smell as a garden of roses. Amen. Everywhere the church goes, it should carry the scent of the Savior. Borum told the story of the man that went to visit Cornwall, England. And while he walked through the drab, gray buildings of the factories and the homes, he said he looked around and all he saw was that grayness. But then all of a sudden he heard a siren sound. And then it seemed as if the streets were filled with the fragrance of flowers. He said that it seemed like there were roses and lilac smell everywhere. He looked around and saw no gardens. He saw no flowers. Just drab gray buildings and factories. Later that evening he asked another businessman. He said, what was this? I heard the siren and then I smelled the flowers and the roses. That man said, ah, that was the lunch whistle at the perfume factory. And he said, when the lunch whistle sounds, all the girls come out and go home for lunch. And they carry the scent of the perfume everywhere they go. That's the glorious church moving through the wilderness with all powders of the merchant. The venerable, glorious church must wake its way through the wilderness in such a way that people watching stand in awe of God at work in their lives. Oh, thank God for being part of a glorious church. And I pray as you go home, you'll go home with power. You'll go home with the scent of the Savior and the glory of God all over your lives. And everywhere you put your foot down, you'll leave an imprint of the power of Calvary. Hallelujah. Skip to verse number 9 and let's read a little more. Look at verse number 9. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. This chariot is really actually a portable throne that could be carried on poles like the Ark of the Covenant was. It is a picture of the church. For riding inside of this chariot, or this bed, if you permit me to say that, was a king and his bride. Oh, what a wonderful picture of the church. Notice how he describes it in verse number 9, a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. It is the famous cedars of Lebanon. Those cedars of Lebanon, red and white wood with a dark brown mixed in it. And it said that those cedars of Lebanon would resist decay and they seemingly would last forever. Hey, they were grown up from the earth. They were harvested and then cut and hewn into wood to build with. Do you see the typology there? We as sinners were of the earth. We were raised up from the earth, but we were harvested one day, and we were brought in from the earth, and we were made into something that God could build a church with. And we stand here today, red and white. Red because we have been covered by the blood, and white because we have been cleansed by the blood. And we are made members of the glorious church. I'm glad that I've been brought in. I'm glad that God reached to where I was and brought me in. shine. Amen. But then notice, it said that the pillars thereof are of silver. There were four corner posts upon this chariot that moved through the wilderness, and those four corner posts were made of silver. Remember, they were made of wood, and they were covered with silver. And silver is a type of redemption. And Brother Jamie Holcomb, we have been redeemed. Redeem, redeem. How I love to proclaim it. Amen. The church is held up by redemption. For remember, ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things, but the blood, the blood, the blood. Thank God that I'm redeemed and I'm part of the church. I hear you, my friend. You say nobody's getting saved anymore. Well, you should have been at our church Sunday. Amen. Because people are getting saved. But I tell you what, in 1 Kings 10, it said that silver was so common in Solomon's kingdom. And I believe that's God's plan, that redemption would be common in the kingdom of God. It is God's will to save. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. I'm just trying to lift up the church. I'm just trying to tell you, you're not part of the Lions Club. You're not part of the Elk, the Moose, or anything else. You're part of the church. You're part of the church. You're covered by the blood. You're redeemed. You're brought in and brought up. You're part of God's house. And there's nothing better than that. Don't be discouraged. Don't be weary. Don't be downhearted. You're part of the church.
Look at verse number 10 again. He made the pillars of silver, the bottom thereof of gold. We know the floor is made of cedar wood. Remember, the whole thing is, verse 9. But now we see that the floor is covered with gold. The floor is the base or the foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. Amen. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Yes, this floor is made of wood because he wrapped himself in flesh and humanity, but it is covered in gold because he is deity. Oh, glory to God. Hey, man, brother, I'm building a church. No, no, no. Jesus is building a church. It's his church. Hallelujah. It's his church. Jesus was God. Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I came to preach to you tonight. It's all in Jesus, my sweet Jesus. Give him the praise. I was in the valley of sin. He reached way down and he took me in. Amen, friend, I want you to know it's all in Jesus. He is the foundation of the church. The glorious church is built on him. Aren't you glad to be part of it? Amen, the covering, look at it. The covering of purple. Amen, the chariot as a type of the church is open-sided and covered with a curtain of purple material. It could be opened up or it could be drawn closed. Amen, the church is open. So whosoever will can come in, but yet it is covered with purple, for the church is a gloriously royal institution. Ye are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. I'm just trying to tell you, we're part of the church. We ought to be excited. We ought to be happy. That ought to energize your heart, because we're part of a glorious church. But the most wonderful thing about it is not its appearance, but it is its inhabitants. For the bride is in the church and the king is in the church. I said the king is in the church. That's Christ, the Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Sovereign Savior, the crucified Christ, the risen Redeemer, the living Lord. Jesus is here. I said Jesus is here. I'm going to heaven with Jesus. I'm going to heaven with the bride. Oh, what a ride it is, all the way to heaven. I'm glad to be part of the church. Hey, hallelujah. I want to tell some soldier tonight that feels discouraged and downhearted and downtrodden, rejoice, because you're part of the church. What'd they say, Brother Mike Roberts? What'd Jesus say? He said, don't rejoice
that the demons and the devils are subject to you. But rejoice, because your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Oh, rejoice, sister. You're part of a glorious church. You're just an old piece of wood covered with silver and put in the church. You rejoice, my brother. You're part of the church that's making its way through the wilderness on its way to a royal wedding. I tell you, the church isn't going under. It's under attack, but it's not going under. The church is not going to be defeated. It's a victorious church. It won't be destroyed. It is a building church. It cannot be decimated. It is a growing church. Don't be discouraged, for the church is an uplifting church. We're walking through the wilderness. Amen. But look what Solomon said. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? I tell you, I'm glad to be part of a glorious church. Yes, you may go through the wilderness, but walk on, brother. Walk on, sister. Walk on, children. You got to roll with the rock through the shifting sand. Walk on through the valley. Walk on up the mountain. Walk on through the wilderness. If you're ever going to make it to the promised land, walk on. That's what I'm preaching tonight. We're part of the church, and the church is going on. We're part of the church, and the church is going up. We're part of the church, and we can't back up. We can't give up. We can't dry up. We're part of the church.
Glory.
The venerable site of the church. But now I must move on. Not only the venerable site of the church, but notice the valiant soldiers of the cross. Verse 7 and 8. 70 valiant men are about it. Verse 7, of the valiant of Israel. Verse 8, all hold swords, expert in war, and his sword is upon his thigh because of fear in the night. Here's where I must preach tonight. A great number of elite soldiers march with the church, shouldering the burden and suited for battle. This glorious church is proceeding through the wilderness. We're not staying there. And then the wilderness is full of danger. Bandits on every side. Thieves that would steal. Enemies of the king. Many are the enemies of the cross and the church. The attacks on the church are many, my friend. Satan uses different attacks. For when one is conquered, another comes. Satan uses determined attacks. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Satan uses desperate attacks, for he knows, Brother Nathan Snow, that his time is short. But as the church moves through the wilderness, the king appoints men to guard his beloved bride. And that is you, preacher man. Amen. Let me show you the soldiers and their service. They serve the Lord by guarding the bride. They're a heavenly secret service band that walks with the bride and guards them on the journey. For the bride must be kept safe. You say, I can't do it all. You don't have to. For there are enough men. Notice he said there are 60 of them. They are all about them, Brother Ralston. 15 on the right. 15 on the left. 15 in front. And 15 behind. They are enough. Oh, glory to God. Everywhere there was a man needed, he was right there. Hey, God always has enough men at his disposal. Spurgeon said, there shall be just as many warriors as the crisis shall require. Can I tell you, friend, there's never going to be a shortage of preachers. I said there's never going to be a shortage, because God will call enough, and God will commission enough, and God will anoint enough. Hey, God told Elijah,
Elijah. When Elijah said, I'm the only one, he said, would you just hush and listen to me? There's 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee. I tell you, there's always enough. I said, there's always enough. God will raise up men for every hour. Worry not about the hour of coldness. There's always enough fireballs that God's going to call. Worry not about the movement when it is complacent, for God's got a man that will stir it up. Worry not about the hour of compromise, for God's still got a holiness preacher that'll stand flat-footed and have a backbone like a sawlog and say holiness is right. Amen. Don't worry, for God has a man. When a problem comes, God already saw it coming, and he's got a man ready to step up out of the wilderness and be a prophet for the hour. I tell you, God has enough men that'll be soldiers.
Amen. Notice not only were they enough men, but they were expert men. Being expert in war. They were men who could face the fight. I just felt a dose of boldness get on me. And I'm going to tone it down. My brother said that I was the one. Well, anyway. God bless us, everyone. Men who are not afraid to face the fight. Men who are strong enough to stand in the heat of the battle with courage. Who are you preaching about, preacher? I'm preaching about you. Brother Brim, I don't have enough courage to even stand and deal with what I got to deal with at my church. Yes, you do. Because God has called you and commissioned you, and he put you there knowing what was there, and he put you there to deal with it and be a man of God. Woo! Men who are spirit-filled, men who are spirit-led, men who are filled with the Holy Ghost, men who are well-trained in the art of war, the art of spiritual warfare that will guard the bride. Soldier, that is your service. You've got to be an expert man. We have preachers who are experts in such a wide variety of things, but this hour requires men who are experts with the sword. It doesn't matter what you can build. It doesn't matter what kind of computer you can build. It doesn't matter what kind of businessman you are. It doesn't matter if you're an expert singer and a magnificent musician. It does not matter if you have people skills, but you must learn to be an expert with the sword. Hey, like David practiced with the slingshot until he became an expert. We need men and women that'll get a hold of the sword and practice until God makes you an expert with the sword of the living God. Hey, be an expert with the warfare and let God use you to guard the bride. Soldiers and their sword, they all had swords. He makes specific note of their weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Brother Brim, how can I win the battle? Preach the word. How can I have revival? Preach the word. How can I feed the flock? Preach the word. If you desire to be a valiant soldier, appointed and anointed for this hour, you must strive to be an expert with the sword. Books are very valuable. Commentaries are a wonderful help. Bible programs are invaluable, but the sword on your thigh has got to be your tool of choice. Oh yeah, study it, preach it, pray it and memorize it. Counsel with the sword. Oh yeah, keep the sword on your thigh until you become an expert. But I must move to one more point. Not only soldiers and their service and soldiers and their sword, but I must preach about the soldier and their struggle. For this is what God dealt with me about. It said in verse number 8, because of fear in the night. This point is where I need to slow down and talk to you. For around the beginning of last year, I felt in prayer that God dropped that phrase into my heart for the ministers' conference. I felt that there would be ministers, ministers' wives, and ministers' children that would walk in those doors and sit in these chairs that would need help from heaven. Hey, but I felt like there are men and women who are part of God's glorious church and are actively involved in the ministry of the Lord, yet they are wrestling and struggling with internal issues. It could be your emotion. It could be fear. It could be doubt or lack of faith. It could be failure. Amen. But fear in the night is paralyzing you. You are a valiant soldier, but yet there's something that's holding you back. You see, preachers battle fear in the night. You put on a suit coat and paste on a smile every Sunday and walk into the church, but yet there's something in your heart. You are so frustrated with the disappointments of the ministry that you cannot sleep at night. I'm preaching to somebody right now. Amen. You feel like you might as well quit. You're forcing yourself to just go through the motion because you don't know where you get a paycheck. But if the opportunity would come, you would step out of the ministry and into a full-time job, and we would lose you. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. I felt today in prayer, amen, that friend, if you don't, amen, get the victory, you're not going to be at the minister's conference because you will no longer be what you need to be in the ministry. You will no longer be used by God like He wants to use you. Your high hopes have never materialized. The visions that filled your heart, amen, were never fulfilled before your eyes. Evangelist, the doors just haven't opened. Breakdowns have about broken you. Cancellations have crushed you. And you say, I just can't make it. You have seen your peers promoted while you have seemingly been passed over. But I tell you, you are still a soldier of the cross. Amen. Yes, yes. The church didn't want to follow the vision that God put in your heart, and you can't get past your fear in the night. It's the soldier's struggle. Sometimes we struggle with things that we cannot even see. And if somebody said, tell me what it is, you couldn't even explain it. But yet you stand among us tonight. You're part of the glorious church. You're called and commissioned of God. But your fear in the night is hindering you in the ministry. Help me, God. Help me, God. Sometimes it's not the preacher, but the preacher's wife. Oh, God. You've heard your husband talked about by church members. People that claim to be their friends in the ministry have now begun to turn their sword on them. And though God gives grace to the man of God, are you hearing me right now? Though God gives grace to the man of God, there's a precious little wife that doesn't understand why when her husband tries to do everything he can, the battle rages on. You've watched him endure mistreatment. You have endured doing without, while so many in your church have had everything that you ever dreamed of. You wanted the vacation. You're tired of the parsonage. You'd like your own house. And you wonder, will it ever come? I'm talking about fears in the night.
You've suffered heartbreak as your kids have sacrificed things of their own life so that your husband can fulfill the call of God on his life. And you wore a smile on the outside the whole time and tried to encourage your children that it was all right. But on the inside, you have grimaced and groaned with grief. And now you're battling bitterness in your spirit. You see, sometimes it's so easy to take things personal. Man, help me here. I'm not trying to kill this thing. I'm moving to the altar. Sometimes it's so easy to take things personal. And then you hold on to the pain. And then you lay in the bed at night. And fear in the night begins to grip your heart. And if you don't do something about it, all of a sudden you become a bitter preacher's wife. And you wish your husband would get out of the ministry so you could have something besides a parsonage or a truck and a trailer or a missionary trip next year. Brother Ralston, everybody here knows, at least I believe you do, Sister Brim and I can't have children. But oh, there's a burden in my heart for preachers' kids. Brother Dennis, I watch them so many times as they endure things in the ministry. And God's been dealing with my heart about some of your kids. This fear in the night can ruin them if we allow it. My heart aches and breaks for so many. Because sometimes our preachers' kids have questions, and it seems like parents don't feel like they can give them answers for fear of betraying things in the church. And then that child begins to think nobody understands, and I'm tired of living in this glass house. I just want to shatter it. And that's when they make a wreck of their life, and they can ruin their daddy's ministry. They sacrifice their youth living in an RV. They spend all their years in a parsonage where they can't do anything to decorate their bedroom for fear of putting paint on a parsonage wall. And now you are here and you're struggling against the restraint. And you begin to fight the convictions of your parents that have become a cage wrapped around your life, that are hindering your freedom. And you just want to fly away. But here a few weeks ago as I prayed about this, my mind went to Abraham and Isaac. Abraham in Genesis 22 said, me and the child are going to go yonder and we will come back again. Amen. Listen, it is not God's plan for a man to sacrifice his child on the altar of God's will. Your child is not the sacrifice, and God will provide something else to sacrifice, and it will not be your son or your daughter. Dad, look around for the sacrifice. Dad, your child needs to know God won't ask you to sacrifice them to obey him, and you would never do it. Oh, help us, God. It's time for more dads and children to walk up the mountain of God's will together and realize it's not a sacrifice, but it is worship. You can walk into and fulfill God's will and walk away with your children right by your side, because Abraham fulfilled the will of God perfectly and didn't lose his child, and you don't have to either. Oh, glory to God. I said there's a mama, there's a child, there's a preacher man that's battling and wrestling things, and you're saying, am I even called? Yes, you're called. You need to look at that sword in your hand. You need to remember that commission you heard. You need to remember that voice that God spoke to you with and say, I am called, and I will serve, and I will do the will of God and bring victory in my life. Three things and I'm closing. If somebody wants to come to the music, can we lift our hands right now and ask God to move in this altar? Help me. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. The venerable site of the church, the victorious soldiers of the cross. Three things, I'm closing. First of all, you need to remember why you were called. And friend, you were called. I have no idea how long I've preached. I remember when I was in Bible school, I was trying to make plans for what God had called me to do with my life. I remember Brother Gabbard, while I was there one day, the phone rang and they come down the hall and got me. Yeah, I was back before cell phones. And they said, got a phone call. I went down there and Brother Bridges, it was my brother, my older brother Danny. He's a precious man. He said, Tim, I want to talk to you for a minute. I said, I'm listening. He said, do you know that you're called of God? I said, oh, yes. He said, Tim, there will be times in your ministry when you go through battles that the only thing that will keep you going is the fact that you know you were called. And I have held on to that through the dark hours of the battle. And friend, you've got to remember you were called. You've got to remember why you were called. You are a guardian of the church. Not only remember why you were called, but remember who is with you in the church. First of all, remember that the bride is with you. Remember that there is a host of saints that are going to heaven with you. That church that you're serving, they're going to heaven with you. Those deacons that you may be struggling with, they're going to heaven with you. Remember that. Even remember that there are other soldiers, 60 of them that are gathered around. You're not alone. Hey, the preachers are not against you. Hey, evangelists, nobody's against you. Amen. Just because you've not been called like you think you should, you're part of us. Remember who you're serving with. But also remember Jesus Christ, the man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, the one that was despised and rejected. He said, I will never leave you. And thirdly, remember the weapon you carry. Amen. You carry the sword. Oh, glory to God. The sword that will help you. The sword that is sharper than any other two-edged sword. That's able to pierce and divide. That's able to cut. That's able to work, bring victory. Amen. Keep it close. I said keep it close. Amen. Why? Because there is victory for the valiant. That's what I'm preaching. There is victory for the valiant. Hey, soldier, you've been a warrior. You have been valiant. And tonight I came to preach to you that though there's fear in the night, there's victory here tonight. Amen. That's what I felt the Lord speak. I felt God tell me that what you have been valiantly fighting through, you are about to be delivered from. For tonight is not just a service night. It is not just a Tuesday. It is victory night. Amen. God wants to give a soldier some deliverance from the fear in the night. God wants to reach down and help a precious preacher and say, get up and fight on. Walk on through the valley. Walk on through the mountain. Walk on through the wilderness. Hey, hey, God wants to come in this house and talk to some preacher's wife and give you victory in your mind and break the oppression and break the struggle and give you victory over your bitterness. Hear the word of God right now. God wants to come in this house and help some preacher's kid and give you victory and give you deliverance in your mind. Oh, God wants to take the bitterness out of your heart against the church and say it's a glorious church. It's a victorious church. I said God wants to bring some victory in the house of the Lord for a preacher that said I might as well quit, and a preacher's wife that said I wish he would, and a preacher's kid that said, why can't I just be normal? There's victory for the valiant. Can we lift our hands all over this house right now? Preacher, you're not working when you're in the pulpit. You work when you're pouring yourself out in tears. You work when you're hungrily reading God's word. You work when you're diligently studying God's book. You work when you're fasting food. But when you get in the pulpit, it's God's time. And God's working right now. Oh. I'll tell you what I felt. I'm looking for a preacher to grab his wife by the hand and beckon to your kids wherever they may be and say, tonight we're going to get the victory. That's what you need to do right now. Here's one.
grab your wife by the hand, preacher man, and say, we're going home a victory. Honey, we're not going back to the house like we left it. We're not going back to the travel trailer like we left it. No, 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 no. We're not going back to that church feeling like we're fighting against the congregation. We're going back to that church with victory. Hey, we're not going to lose our kids. Isaac is going to go up the mountain, but Isaac's going to come down the mountain. Amen. Somebody needs to grab a hold of your wife, amen, by the hand and say, let's go. Hey, I'm pulling, I'm pushing, and I'm believing God that there's more than this precious couple. I believe there's a preacher man that's just about to give up. You would lay down the sword if you could. Your wife would tell you to give up and quit. But I came to preach to you tonight. You're a soldier. You're part of the secret service of heaven. And you're not going to quit, because there's victory for the valiant. Don't drop the sword. Get a better grip on it. Come on, Eleazar. Get a grip on the sword and cleave to it. Here's another preaching couple. I'm looking for another one. Amen. You felt like that pioneer work would work, but it just hasn't worked. But I believe God's going to give you victory. Amen. That mission work, it doesn't seem to be building yet, but I feel like God's going to give you some victory tonight. Hey, hey, I'm looking for a preacher's wife that'll break down right now and say, I've got to humble myself and get help at the minister's conference. Hey, 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 here's another one. I'm looking to, no. This is not for everybody right now. I'm looking for those that are hurting, those that are fighting to stay afloat, those that are battling bitterness, those that are struggling. I'm looking for you, because God said the thing that you're fighting valiantly through, you're about to get victory over. You're about to see victory come in your children. You were afraid you lost them, but you're about to get them back. You were afraid they were gone, but God's about to turn it around. I said tonight is deliverance night. Tonight is victory night. Somebody's going to go home with a brand new anointing. Somebody's going to go home with a brand new unction. Somebody's going to go back to your RV and go in there and pick up your Bible and say, I preach till victory comes. I'm not losing the sword. I'm not giving up the sword. I'm going to be an expert. I'm going to have victory for the valiant. I'm looking for another preacher. Preacher man, hear me. If you don't answer, you're going away. But God said, come on. I want you to make it. I want you to make it. I have called you with a holy calling. I've called you with a high calling. I've called you with a heavenly calling. Come on, preacher. Come on, preacher. Come on, preacher's wife. Come on, preacher's kid. The church is glorious. Be glad to be part of it. Be thankful to be part of it. Talking to you. Remember your call. Remember your commission. Remember you're a guardian of the bride. Go on right now. Throw your hands up to heaven. Throw your hands up to heaven right now and say, I came to get victory. I came to get victory. I'm not going under. I'm not going out. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to pray through until I can preach again. I'm going to pray through until I get fresh anointing. I'm going to have victory.
If this cross you're asking me to carry,
let's gather in church and pray with
helps
them.
Me know,
let's gather in church and pray with them. Come on, preacher. Come on, preacher, come with us. Come on right now. You need help. You need victory. You need direction. You need anointing. You need unction.
Help that preacher's kid. Help that preacher's kid. Help that pastor. Help that evangelist. Oh God, come on. Grab a hold of that sword, Eliezer, and say, I'll fight again. I'll swing it again. I'll do whatever it takes. I'm called by God. I'm commissioned by God. There's victory in the altar. God, help that pastor's wife. Help that pastor, Lord, right now. That feels like they're about to go under in the battle. Their strength is just about gone. The odds seem overwhelming. But right now, I pray that there be victory for the valiant soldier of the cross. There's coming a crowning day. I said there's coming a crowning day, preacher. Come on, right now. Throw your hands up in Jesus' name. I feel victory in the house. Throw your hands up right now. There's victory in the house. There's victory in the house. Somebody's about to get a deliverance. Somebody's about to feel the Holy Ghost. Like you haven't felt them in a long time. I feel like there's a wave of anointing coming through. And somebody's about to get a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. Come on, preacher. Come on, preacher's wife. Grab a hold of that preacher's kid. We can't lose them. They're too valuable. Come on, preacher. All the way to the back. God's touching people right now. Come on, that's it. That's it, Dan. Let the Holy Ghost help you, son. Come on, my brother, that's it. Let the Holy Ghost help you right now. Glory.
You're asking me to carry. Let me
know. Glory. Fresh oil from the throne room.
Jesus pressing down.
Fresh anointing.
Down for all to see. That I'll bear.
Can we all lift our hands all over the building right now and say, God, we need a breakthrough. We need a breakthrough. Oh, Lord, would you open the windows of heaven and pour out fresh anointing on the holiness preachers. We can have revival in the holiness movement if the church preachers will have revival right now. Oh, God, let us get a fresh touch that we can carry home. Let us get a fresh touch that we can carry back to our revivals. Let us get a fresh touch that we can carry back across the ocean to the mission field. Give us fresh power. Come on, preacher's kid. You hear me, preacher girl? You hear me? God's not done with you. God's got a plan for you. I rebuke the devil of hell that's telling you your ministry's over. It is not over. Get up, Elijah, and go over there and anoint that next one. Go on, Elijah, get up. There's something beyond that tree. There's something beyond that cave. There's something beyond where you're at. Get up. Get up. Get up. Come on, preacher, get the sword back. Get up, preacher, get the sword back. Come on, get the sword back, Eleazar. Hold on. I've got to fight on. I've got to go on. I've got a holy calling. I've got a high calling. Commission for you. I've got another calling for you. Keep going.
Jesus, press me down, down for all to see. So I'll bear my cross and I'll learn what it means to be trusted even when I'm hurting.
Come on, church. Come on, let's keep pushing. I feel like we're on the verge of a breakthrough. I feel like God's about ready to help somebody. Come on, let's push one more time.
You did not forsake me.
Sam, there's a high calling, son. God ain't done. God ain't done. You've just begun. You're just starting, son. You're just starting. God ain't done yet. Grab a hold of the sword and let the power course through your life. And preach. Preach.
How awful.
Preach.
I'll still be trusted even when I'm hurting to be standing when this trial is gone. Let me be preaching. You did not forsake.
Somebody's about to get up and go out to battle again, and God's about to bring the victory. That's what I hear in my spirit right now. There's a wind beginning to blow, and if you want to be the one that gets up and goes with the wind and goes to the victory, I want you to throw your hand in the air. Amen. Grab a hold of that wife's hand, grab a hold of your children's hand, and pull your hands up together. Amen. Lift your arms up in the wind and say, I'm going with the wind. I'm going with the Holy Ghost. I'm going with the anointing. I hear the sound of a going of the wind in the mulberry tree. Somebody's about to get victory. Somebody's about to get deliverance. Somebody's about to lose that bitterness. Somebody's about to have a stronghold fall. Somebody's about to hear a new commission. Ha, 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 ha. Grab a hold of the sword and get up in the wind and let the wind blow and let victory come and let power work. Ha, ha, ha. You're about to break through. Whoa. I said you're about to break through. Whatever it takes, break through. Shut up. Let another wave of wind blow through. Let another moving of glory come through. Some preacher's kid break right now before you.
I've seen God's people.
Let the Holy Ghost speak to some preacher's wife right now, God.
I've seen them crying out.
Go on, preacher, all the way to the back. Go on, preacher. Go on, grab a hold of it. Grab a hold of it. Grab a hold of it. Grab a hold of it right now. Throw your hands, that's it. Up in the wind. And say, push me where I need me.
With tears in their eyes.
Function as me. Breathe on me.
Never, no, never seen the righteous forsaken. I've seen God's people pray by hospital bed. I've seen them struggling for their daily bread. Seen them standing at the grave of one who left us too young. Forsaken, seen them with tears in their eyes, seen them with their hearts breaking, tested and tried, seen them with their face shaking, but I've never, no, never seen the righteous forsaken. Seen them when it looked like there was no help inside. But in the eyes of heaven, something else was going on. They may have been all by themselves, but they were never alone.
I've never, no, never seen the righteous forsaken.
Stretch your hand over to that brother beside you. Stretch your hand over to that sister beside you, sister. And say, right now, would you anoint us with fresh oil? The holiness movement can have revival. If we can have revival tonight, if we can go home anointed with fresh oil, if we can go home with victory and power, if we can go home with new vision, if we can go home with a new burden, the whole movement can have revival. Because you're the valiant of the valiant. You're the best of the best. Come on, preacher. Come on, preacher's wife. God's helping preacher's kids. God's giving victory. Come on, grab a hold of that one beside you and say, anoint us. Give us a breakthrough. Give us victory. Give us help.
When it seemed like life was nothing but night. Oh, but in the eyes of heaven, something else was going on.
God ain't through,
they
Joey.
They didn't go by themselves. But
God
they
ain't
were
through.
Alone.
No, no, no.
I've
There's
never,
another
no,
blessing on the other side
forsaken.
Of the battle.
Tears in
Come on.
Eyes.
Come on, Abraham. Walk up the mountain, but come back down with your eyes and don't lose your tears. Come on, church.
Never, no, never.